Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Raines Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Monday immediately after Talking Markets Show. It's the second half of the Financial Power Block here on WWPR. At 4:05, you can get all things markets and trading with Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew.
And Henry.
Yeah.
We talk markets with Henry.
Well, but as I always say on the show, don't do what I do. Listen to them.
Hey, you had a nice Tesla trade. I have to hand hands off to that.
Oh, we'll plow through this here and then pat each other on the back afterwards. Anyway, it's not the Talking Markets Show, but it is your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain news, and more. And you know what really happened this week in blockchain?
Spend the money.
We got a lot of money just to get along.
We're in the money.
Only education, information, done it for.
It's all the way up. It's all
yeah,
the
it
way
is.
Up.
Yeah, it nice was. Move. I mean, it was almost like it was just raining Bitcoin.
Every time it rains, it rains.
Bitcoin.
I don't
use. All right, enough of that. I just had to use every liner that we have not been able to use for weeks, if not months. But this week, Mark Zuckerberg.
Zuckerberg.
Yes, you know him.
Is that the brother of Mark Zuckerberg?
He gets confused for Mark Zuckerberg all the time. He testified before Congress about cryptocurrency Libra, but we're not going to talk about that because that was 5 days ago, and that's ancient crypto history this week. But what did happen is China's President Xi, the great statesman, our dear leader, said he would speak to the crypto world, and they listened as he endorses blockchain. And probably this isn't for U.S. citizens or even listeners of this show, because I know on the downloads, I haven't seen many in China. I've seen them all over the other part of the world. Are you getting downloads
in China?
I think the Great Firewall is blocking us out. But maybe at the bottom of the speech from President Xi, he also told them, lift that firewall for Talking Markets and the Henry Raines Show. And, in fact, you might even, if he would do that for me, I would do this for China. The Chinese Communist Party wants you to pledge allegiance to blockchain. Yes, that's true. After the speech, it came out, and there is an app where you can pledge allegiance to blockchain. I don't have to pledge allegiance to the Chinese Communist Party.
So they're figuring out who's got the blockchain, who's got the Bitcoin.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that. And meanwhile, $150 million of shorts on BitMEX got liquidated in 6 minutes. And then, actually, a couple days later, it happened all over again, and maybe even a couple other times after that. And
that's trading leverage in non-liquid markets. It's just too risky. There's no reason to do it.
Well, you can take that to the bank. Because it's coming from the man behind the theme in front of the man and behind the man and all circling around here in the studio. That's the theme from Talking Markets. But it is Andrew of Talking Markets. He looks totally different an hour later when he becomes Andy of the Henry Raines Show. But I quickly want to thank the people that showed up.
How'd that go? Because I couldn't make it.
I think, you know, everybody wanted to correlate the price of Bitcoin with President Xi or this or that and the stock market. No. The price of Bitcoin is correlated with how many people RSVP to the meetup because we had very low interest, and then Friday happened and nobody else showed up. But
Well, I know we had some questions in there, the Death Cross and that.
Well, Bruce showed up, and Cheryl, who was at the last meetup for the first time, and Mike, who was in the construction that had the conversation with you, and another very nice lady that, since I'm not going to say her name, I will. She owned Bitcoin. She wasn't older as in older than me, but she was like older than college age, let's say.
Okay.
She had gotten a younger man to help her with her hardware wallet.
Oh no.
And and she was telling us she needed help to get the Bitcoin out of the wallet. She had a problem. She couldn't get a hold of the guy anymore. And I said, well, first thing I asked is, does the guy have your private key to the wallet? And, by the way, before she started this, when we said something about Coinbase, she says, Coinbase, can't stand that. Well, you wouldn't have this problem on Coinbase.
No.
Anyway,
I hope she had her
key. She had her key. So I'm saying, I think we can find somebody to help you with that. That sounds doable. And, and you got your wallet. Yeah. She goes, I need somebody that knows something about PGP. And I'm thinking, I haven't heard of that brand wallet before. And I'm like, PGP, what's that? And I should know because I actually took a cybersecurity course last semester, but I've already forgotten that PGP means pretty good privacy. But when she told me it meant pretty good privacy, I was like, well, why did he put that on your wallet? I said, pretty good privacy isn't as good a privacy as your private key. As far as what it takes to break it.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, I referred her to the professor that taught the course, who I've never met and don't know what he looks like, because it's an online course.
Yeah.
But I've had a couple courses from him now.
Right.
So I've got a history with him, but don't ask him my name. So, anyway, digressing on that. Anyway, but it does raise an important point about the upcoming meetups, because it's not a lot of money, but Meetup raised their charging me now $24 a month.
What?
Yeah.
For the library?
The library doesn't charge me anything.
Oh.
For the Meetup website. To be able to contact people through that and organize through that. And when I first signed up, it was free.
All right.
And then when we got like 100 people signed up, then it was $9.95. And then a couple months ago I saw it was $12.95, and then I saw it was $23.95, which $300. I could call the five people that were So $300 a year is starting to get a little bit, I think, inappropriate for their services.
Yeah.
And you know who owns Meetup, don't you?
Who?
WeWork. WeWork bought Meetup recently. I don't know. Well, maybe not recently, but maybe in the last year. And I didn't know that until I got an email from about a month ago saying, there's a lot of people concerned about the recent financial news or business news about WeWork and our acquisition. I'm like, I didn't even know you had a flipping acquisition. And so then I Google, and it doesn't even say it's WeWork. Maybe it did. I shouldn't say that. But I definitely was Googling after I got that email, and WeWork had figured they could work Meetup. to get to all that.
So does she have her? She had her coins in there. You don't know.
Well, she thought she had her coins in there.
Well, I hope she did.
Yeah. Well, hopefully she talks to the professor over at SCF and he can at least steer her to somebody who knows about PGP, pretty good privacy.
Well, yeah.
But anyway, to get through all that wind up on, to tell you this, I think for the future, I will keep it going for a few weeks so I can use the communication to communicate with people. But I think I'm just going to do it through the Facebook page.
Yeah. Probably get better anyways. $5 is a blast to everybody.
Yeah. Except Facebook, because they don't want anything about cryptocurrency advertised on their site.
You spell it wrong.
I've tried that.
That didn't work.
But they have an approval.
Libra Meetup.
but Blockspace is up in Tampa, which is a pretty legit organization.
Yeah.
She was complaining about how hard it was to get approved for a Facebook app.
Yeah,
so
I haven't
tried for this. I apologize.
Damn Zuckerberg.
But
I'm glad they're giving them a hard time in the Senate.
Yeah.
Of course, none of them know what the hell blockchain is.
Well, as I said, I don't have it on the rundown to talk about, although I do have a clip from Representative Patrick McHenry, who gave a real good interview about it. If we have time, we'll get to that towards the end of the show.
Yeah.
But let's get to, not the ancient news, the recent news, like just past Friday.
I tell you, I've got news for you.
Well, after we get this under our belt, as far as the setup, the big event of the past 3 days, 4 days, we'll open the phone lines. Bitcoin's price rose sharply over the weekend. I don't know. Did you notice that?
Yeah, a little bit. I got the phone calls.
Yeah, recovering from a plunge just days earlier, as in Wednesday, as in the day Mark Zuckerberg spoke to Congress. After China, Zuckerberg speak, it goes down. Xi speaks, it goes up. Chinese President Xi Jinping. Trump does that so much better than I do. Maybe I need to preface
this.
With my good friend, China's President Xi Jinping, that's a little better, gave a speech embracing the blockchain technology and calling on his country to advance development in the field. The value of the world's best-known cryptocurrency jumped as high as 10,332 on Saturday, according to data from industry website CoinDesk. The price has since eased to around 9,370. I actually think it's about 9,400 now, up about 1% on the day. The virtual currency's jump came as China's leader sang the praises of blockchain. I don't think he really... he can't handle a melody. The technology underpins cryptocurrency like Bitcoin, if you hadn't heard. According to state media, Xi said Friday that China has a strong foundation and should look to take a leading position in the sector. Great, something else for the trade war.
Yeah.
He reportedly said China would seize the opportunity offered by blockchain, adding the technology could benefit a range of industries, including finance, education, and healthcare. Much like all those guests we used to be having 2 years ago, which are now checking Indeed for the latest job opening. Beijing has taken a tough stance on cryptocurrencies, banning a fundraising exercise known as initial coin offering and forcing local trading platforms to shut down in 2017. China's central bank, the People's Bank of China, however, has been working on its own digital currency, accelerated since Facebook's Libra, which I guess maybe, do you think, sitting around Beijing, Xi said to his buddies as they were watching Mark Zuckerberg and getting the briefing on what the U.S. news was and seeing how they put him on the hot seat, he goes, let me tell you how to talk to a country.
Yeah.
Book me. Well, so what happened then? Pretty much we had, let's just track this. We had... the Wednesday drop with Facebook was from, what, 8,400 to 7,200 right now, bounced a little bit. And then everybody was, woe is me.
Yeah.
And then 2 days later, sometime on Friday, it was Saturday China time, which would have been late on our Friday, I just happened to look back at a Bitcoin chart from where it was a minute ago, and all of a sudden I text you. I was like, look at Bitcoin. And that was the jump from...
That went like nuts, too. It was like...
7,400 to 8,400, like quicker than I play commercials here.
I mean, I was sitting there and put out an article, and I'm like, hey, this nice green bar here. If this closes strong, we're going to go long. And next, about 5 minutes later, I get a text. Did you see the price of Bitcoin? I'm like, yeah, I just wrote it. Oh, my God.
Yeah, by that time, they jumped from 84 to 9,400. And then finally, it goes up to, and these are like six-minute jumps.
Crazy.
It sits still for an hour or two, and then bang. And then it went up to, on my exchange, it went up close to 10,500. Well, and then it's come back down to 9,400, which still feels a lot better than 7,200. One more thing before we...
Unless you don't have any.
Well, I had liquidated on the way down at 9,500 because I'd listened to Talking Markets. They didn't give me that advice. But because I have to interpret it in a way that makes me feel good. It's not how you... how the trade goes, it's how you feel before you press the button on the trade.
There you go.
Yeah. If you feel good when you press the button, then just suck it up afterwards.
That's right.
I was feeling pretty darn good after that trade, after getting out at 9,500 when I saw it down at 7,200.
Now, how do you feel now?
Well, I still feel okay because I still have that money, but I had to get back in a little bit. So I took 5% of my cash and got back in last night, right about 9,500. So.
Nothing lost, nothing gained.
Yeah.
Except for the taxes. You got to pay taxes on that.
Well, I sort of expected that.
Yeah. That's a hard. Anyways.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Hey, we'll have a show about that next week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, Chinese Communist Party. It's amazing how things work so well there
together. Yeah,
it's almost like it's one mind.
No red tape. No red tape.
Well, not on the one mind.
That's right. That's right.
China's Communist Party is taking their leader's support for blockchain to heart. Following Xi Jinping's bombshell speech last week, urging his country, when did it become a bombshell speech, to seize the opportunity created by the technology, the Communist Party, Chinese Communist Party, released a decentralized app for members to attest their loyalty on a blockchain. You're attesting loyalty to the blockchain on a blockchain.
Wow.
According to a post from the CCP, which is the China Communist Party, propaganda office, now why wouldn't they just say
why would they have just,
the information office?
The information, yeah.
Your well-being office. On Saturday, the DAP is called, in literal translation, called Original Intentions on Chain. Allows members to pledge their allegiance to the party. Oh, I guess... Well, I guess I can't really do that part. I thought I just had to pledge allegiance to blockchain. And store it, I probably couldn't have read it anyway once I downloaded it. And store it on a blockchain, which can be shared and seen by others. Much like their surveillance.
There you go.
Seems like you should just be able to walk up to the camera and say, I pledge allegiance to blockchain.
Yep.
Indivisible and distributed. The term original intentions is a specific phrase mentioned by Xi during his remarks at the 19th National Congress of the CPC in 2017. Is that when he got the extension on his presidency?
Yeah, it's when he won the vote. It was by a majority. It was a landslide. Landslide victory.
Oh, how surprising. After which it became a significant propaganda, educational campaign, et cetera, et cetera.
They said there was no Russian collusion in that campaign, in that election.
I believe it. they run a tight ship in that election over there. You won't even be able to get close to those ballot boxes. Anyway, it's being developed by a company called Lingxu Technology, which says it's a blockchain developer without much detail about it. The company's registration data shows it has received investment from state-owned Capital Time to China's Tsinghua University, sort of an Ivy League, and claims it has developed a blockchain called OF. In fact, the company issued a little-known cryptocurrency dubbed OF coin.
Oh, my God.
OF.
The irony.
And got it listed on exchanges like OKEX and CoinMex early in 2018, months after China cracked down on initial coin offerings and fiat to crypto trading. Hey, you'd think those people know somebody. OF's price jumped 90% on Saturday all the way up to 0.0003 cents. But it's since fallen.
$0.0031 cents.
Also in China, searches on Baidu jumped 200% for blockchain and Bitcoin. Also on WeChat. And in the U.S., the price, you can use this on Talking Markets if you want, the price of Yuzunli, a cloud computing firm listed on NASDAQ, shot up by 107%.
I watched that stock, actually.
And also blockchain, anything... With blockchain,
anything with blockchain,
mentioned on the Chinese stock market,
except
was
for
soaring.
Overstock. Overstock.com. Remember, it was $180 and it's down like 11. Whatever.
Anyway, it's almost like the good old days, isn't it? It's the Chinese New Year of good old days.
Well, oh, those days were so grand.
If you want to call in, we have open phone lines at 941-745-1490, 941-745-1490. And we are going to go to a break. We'll come back with your calls and more Chinese New Year news right here on your Chinese blockchain station, WWPR. Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Bite Federal ATMs make it easy, safe, secure, and reliable
a Bike Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Bike Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Bike Federal ATM near you. Go to BikeFederal.com to find a location for you. That's BikeFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on the Henry Rain Show.
Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. And every Monday, it is the second half of a financial power block here on WWPR. And that is following Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew. And then the Henry Rain Show, Talking Markets in general, and then crypto markets more specifically. And you can find both shows at SeekingCryptos.com. It's on the homepage, or if you want to find archives of the Henry Rain Show, just Google Henry Rain Show, and you'll find a number of platforms for it. And we're going to go to the phone lines, and we have Augie on the line. Good afternoon, Augie.
Good afternoon, Henry. I'm using a landline today instead of a cell phone, so I'm hoping I'm a little clearer than I was last week.
Well, your audio is louder. We will see if you're more clear. And
I'm finding it a little bit confusing watching Facebook's representative Zuckerberg talk about the Libra, and at the same time the Chinese saying, well, if the Libra is going to be that regulated that we need, we want it. We want to collect data from all our Chinese folk out there. So the thing that they don't want is their government doing more data collection.
Oh, I don't think the Chinese people have a say in that.
Probably not, but they don't want it. They say that the story is they don't want it to be collected if they don't have to have it collected
Andy and I did a story, a couple months ago, about the sheer memory power of the Chinese surveillance system.
Oh, that was crazy.
And it was trillions and trillions of terabytes of storage. Something like they could store video on everybody for years. We're not talking data. We're talking video.
Yeah.
And as we said, it seemed like everybody just got on the right page after President Xi had his surprise speech, and we had the app for your phone or your digital ramp onto whatever the Chinese internet is, where you could pledge allegiance to blockchain. Well, it seemed like the media focused right in with all reported and journalistic preparation. President Xi's focus was evident on the benefits of blockchain technology and the ripple effects. Also affected China's view on Bitcoin. Now, he didn't say anything about Bitcoin. It's legal.
He did a Jamie Dimon blockchain.
There's been court decisions in China that it's legal to possess Bitcoin. It's not legal to trade it.
Okay.
So if you have it, you can keep it, and you better keep it to yourself. So anyway, CCTV, China's state-controlled television station, CCTV.com also, recently hosted a segment breaking down Bitcoin. Now, this, he just spoke on Friday our time, Saturday his time, but somehow the whizzes in Chinese television were able to put together not only a presentation on blockchain, but actually on Bitcoin, too, according to a prominent trader that closely follows the region's cryptocurrency scene. Panda, which screams authority, propagated evidence on this online, remarking that the CCTV explained the basics of the first ever blockchain application, Bitcoin, and how a distributed ledger works in a recent segment. It didn't clear how many individuals were watching. It's a little early for the ratings, but the number was easily in millions. You know, we got a billion people.
Sure,
millions is really a pretty low rating. Another trader has tacitly corroborated the trend of Bitcoin returning to the mainstream in China. The analyst remarked in his Twitter post that he noticed that the Chinese government has organized, this is the one mind again, has organized a nationwide blockchain exam competition. So it's a competition. It's the spirit of competition. It's not for you to get all nervous about the state.
Yeah.
They're trying to mandate that you know this stuff. It's fun. And the class is actually titled, in this translation, application of blockchain Bitcoin. And the class...
Let me interrupt you.
Well, wait one second. And the class goes on to describe how it solved double spending, the advantage over Alipay. Watch out, Jack Ma.
Oh, Jack. Well,
and WeChat Pay, whoever owns that, and so on. So, go ahead, Augie.
Well, I just... when you put people in a sack race, you can keep the competition onto a controlled level. And sack races have their own monopoly. You know, if you've got two legs or four legs or whatever it is in a sack race, the people who compete the best have one leg on the outside of the sack. So if you have one leg up on the others, you're a little more of an advantage. And if the people say, no, that's not going to be good enough, we can put a sack on that free leg. This whole business of control is at the heart of it, and the whole business of data collection, of course. The Chinese know what they're doing as far as controlling, and they're going to do it.
You know, I've put a post on this. I wasn't planning on talking about it per se, but you know, facial recognition in China, beyond following everybody on video, you got to know who they are. So their facial recognition technology is you know, very advanced. And, in fact... You know, Augie's talking about the digital data of paying with the digital currency and the blockchain and being able to monitor all that, et cetera. And it also speaks to it. They want to have they've been developing this digital currency for the yuan, for the Bank of China. We've talked about on previous shows about how they've made these arrangements with different Chinese banks, commercial banks, with the state banks. And so all that fits together. And they have, even to the point now that if you want to use cash, that I think on the day we talked about it, the number was about the equivalent of $78. You have to transact your transaction through facial recognition. And, you know, if anything over $78,
you have to
have a facial recognition for the transaction to go forward.
I do that with Apple Pay.
Really?
Yeah, when you do Apple Pay.
Well, that was the point I was going to make, because I put it up on Facebook. I usually don't put political stuff on my personal page. And I said...
Me neither.
Yeah, I know. And I said, you know, people think, oh, it's over there. It won't come here. I said, no, it won't come here until the corporations figure out how to make money doing it. And then we will have the version that's profit-driven on how they surveil you. And do your facial recognition, et cetera. And it's really true. If you listen to the podcast, it's not online yet, but it will be later. I mentioned a stock and a company at the end of the show, Talking Markets, Motorola Solutions. No, they don't sell phones. They are the old corporation for that, but they sold that off to Nokia. And their whole business, and they've doubled in about 2 years, is selling body cams to police and law enforcement, to video surveillance to private corporations, cybersecurity to keep people from hacking into the law enforcement stuff. And, you know, it's well developed here also, believe me. But, you know, once we die, nobody will remember when you could go anyplace and not be seen. So,
Henry, you've been citing the up and down and the up of Bitcoin. How up is Bitcoin these days?
Well, it's about 9,400 right now, but that's up from 7,200 on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, it went as high as 10.5, so you had almost a 50% rise in price in 10 hours. And you had about a 20.
Up and dump all over again.
Well, we'll see.
I think this is the move to 20. 25.
Oh, this is it?
This is it. This is the move.
Okay.
I mean, I heard Andy on the Talking Market show pushing the idea of gold being a real game changer down the road. Is that where you're at, Andy?
I've always been a gold bug. So.
Cash, I just saw an article in the last 24 hours that when they figure out the percentage of cash to GDP, it has increased in the U.S. and Europe. And you would think, especially in Europe, that they're going more digital payments. But There is a fondness for accumulating cash.
Yeah, you know, there's nothing like having $100 bills in your pocket.
And, yes, and I'd love to have that feeling. And and also the low interest rates makes that more feasible.
Yeah.
Now they're talking raising the rates.
Well, if you don't want those hundreds, just give them to me then.
Yeah.
They're tying it to the satisfaction of solving the trade argument with China.
Yeah.
And raising the tax, raising the interest rates as a result. That'll be the reward.
So back to China. I'm sure you're asking the question, well, just how far advanced is China in blockchain? Well,
that's the question I was going to ask.
Yes. 506 such products have been published by the Cyberspace Administration of China, which since January has required every entity developing blockchain technologies to register their projects for further supervision. I think that's a harsh for further collaboration.
Yes.
The information released so far is from two lists. Ah!
There you go.
I don't think that's a real phone call.
That's probably a healthcare one. Have you updated your healthcare? Why not?
You're live on the air.
This call is regarding the status of your Google Business listing.
Mm-hmm.
Your Google Business listing.
Okay. Yep, everything's good.
Google's following us. You've been talking about Google, and you get the phone call.
We filed our Google listing with the Cyberspace Administration of China.
China, that's right.
Or the CAC, as it's fondly called. 197 projects were named in March, 309 in October, and they don't think that's all of them. But it does offer some insight. They include, of course, the Chinese state-owned banks and commercial tech conglomerates, as well as many government and public sector projects. Important developments were partially disguised by, by projects under the name of related subsidiaries. In addition, there are many known blockchain projects that were absent from the list. Six banks, two major state-owned national banks, and four local banks have filed for 14 blockchain projects. I just want to say products. Industrial, that's the capitalist in me.
Yeah, there you go.
See, if I was communist, I would understand these are projects. These are community projects. These aren't for-profit products. Now I'm flipped again. Anyway, 14 blockchain projects. Industrial and Commercial Bank of China, the world's largest bank by assets, and Ping An Bank. The banking arm of Ping An Insurance have registered two blockchains. Well, I'm sure you're familiar with all that. Baidu has a bunch. Alibaba, Tencent, all those are on
Tencent's
the list.
Tencent's an interesting one.
Yeah. And have you heard of UnionPay?
No.
UnionPay is the Chinese government's answer to Visa MasterCard.
Mm.
And they have their blockchain on this. So I wonder if we're going to see a whole blockchain initiative coming out of...
Oh, they got Neo. Did you see the price of Neo jumped up? Neo went through the roof.
Is that Chinese or Japanese?
Yeah, that's the China's Ethereum. You don't remember Neo from back in the good old days when it was
$220? Yeah, I remember Neo. I was trying to remember if it was the Japanese Bitcoin or the Chinese Bitcoin, or the Japanese Ethereum or the Chinese Ethereum.
Yeah, it went from $680 to almost $14 in a single move.
Today?
No, it was Friday.
That was when everybody was
Friday.
Where is it now?
It's at 11:19.
Holding strong.
Still pretty nice strong.
Yeah.
Pretty nice move.
Well, you know who didn't come out too well are some BitMEX traders. when the surge went higher, which majority took place within a 10-minute span of time, $150 million worth of BitMEX short positions were liquidated. But I guess the good news is it's smaller than the $200 million of liquidation that happened to the
Longs
on Wednesday when Mark Zuckerberg talked. We talked on Talking Markets about just how that works. Since this is the show,
yeah,
we probably could recount that. BitMEX allows you to trade futures with a 100-to-1 margin.
Or higher.
For the experienced trader.
For the experienced trader, yeah. In a market that gaps, 500 points.
Yes. All right. Well, it's just for round numbers. Let's use
100.
1 to 100. So for your million, you could control $100 million of positions. And 1 is 1% of 100 million. So I guess depending on
1%
the spreads and things like that, a move of 2% would probably liquidate your million out of the system.
Yeah.
unless you were on the right side of the trade, which when you close it out, you'd get like 100 times factor of 100 increase.
Henry, excuse me, have you ever brought up the subject of, and I'm sure you have, where people want to invest in Bitcoin and give it a shot, and then if I want to get out of it, how do I do that?
Well, that most people are onto that. They Coinbase, you can go right back and forth to your bank account.
Yeah.
But BitMEX is something different. Okay. BitMEX.
You need a VPN.
Yeah. Yeah.
In Cambodia.
Yeah, when they the opposite of know your customer.
Yeah, it's opposite.
We don't want to know you. It's not NYC. It's WDNYC.
Yeah.
We don't want.
We don't care.
We don't know your customer. So anyway, you got that 100-to-1 factor either way. Can wipe you out or could make you gloriously rich.
Yes.
So. Now, how do they come up with but they're only trading futures. They're not trading Bitcoin. So you say, well, how do you come up with the price of Bitcoin? Well, they take three indices. Now, there's, I don't know how many exchanges there are around the world, but there's a lot.
Yeah.
And there's big ones in Europe. There's big ones in Asia, Hong Kong, Japan, et cetera. But they found the three they want to use. And it's Coinbase Pro, Kraken, U.S. exchanges, and Luxembourg. And speaking a little bit to Augie's point, Coinbase, you can put it back and forth to your
pretty simple
your bank account. If you get verified with Kraken, you can do wire transfers, and you have some limits on how much you can put in and out. And I think Coinbase Pro even, you can't, if they don't know who you are, and you just try and drop $1 million in there,
The money can go in, but you don't.
And on Bitstamp, though, I believe is Luxembourg. And I don't think Bitstamp has quite, you know, I may have tried to get an account there long ago, and I maybe had to send them some ID, but I don't remember too much going on with that. But my suspect, because it's happened before, is $1 million moves on and off Bitstamp much easier than Coinbase or Kraken. So let's say I have plenty of money. I have $100 million, but I'd like another $100 million. And I'm willing to risk $2 million, maybe, or part of $2 million for another $100 million. So I see all these people with short positions on BitMEX. I see $150 million of shorts there, and because everybody knows Bitcoin's going down.
That's right.
And I think I can help it go down. I'm going to first take my long position on BitMEX with $1 million. And then I'm going to take my other $1 million out of the $2 million of my $100 million, and I'm going to drop $1 million of Bitcoin on Bitstamp and sell it. Let's liquidate it. Cause the price to drop. The stop losses start triggering. The price of Bitcoin falls. Exchanges everywhere see that. There's an arbitrage. They start selling off.
Yep.
It cascades through the system. Over on BitMEX, all those $150 million are shorts are like, oh, gosh, that's a lot of short. And their money, their $150 million disappears because with BitMEX, when they liquidate, correct me if I'm wrong, Andy, just because you had $100,000 that got that you lost because it liquidated, you actually maybe had a position that lost $200,000, so they start looking around for everybody else that's on the short side and starts taking their money, too, to make up for that $150 million.
Yeah, they don't lose money.
Because with me and my $1 million long position over there, I'm waiting for my $100 million.
Yeah.
And then I say, well, that's the glory of the marketplace.
So that's a risky game doing that leverage trading.
Yeah. Now, I don't think by the second or third time on Friday that it was all short. Well, it was probably short squeezes, but I don't think that was manipulation because just from the drop from the $200 million on Wednesday to the $150 million liquidation on Friday, Saturday, you know, it's getting diminishing returns.
Yeah.
So why? And how greedy do I really need to be once I've gotten a couple hundred million in a week?
Yeah.
You know how that is, Augie.
Oh, how greedy can you get?
Well, No, that was quite the way I asked the question. I said, you know what it's like to get a couple hundred million in a week. You don't have to be greedy.
No, you don't. Well, when you
he's speaking from experience.
Yes.
And as long as you know where it's going, the flow is fine. If you don't know where it's going, then the flow is not so fine.
Well, you know who's saying life is fine these days? And that's the backed futures market. Now, not that this stuff happens on back, because, I don't know, they do 100 to 1, but I think they're trying to keep a little bit more respectable facial recognition over there.
Yeah.
But they their volume had been struggling, but not now. Bitcoin trading volume when the 10 biggest crypto exchanges blew up over the weekend, and backed futures recorded a new all-time high in daily trading volume with 1,156 futures contracts traded in one day. Many people thought it was back's lackluster volumes when they opened that triggered Bitcoin's fall from $10,000 late last month. So I don't know if the tail's wagging the dog or what, but they're happy over it backed. Enough that they announced a new initiative. They're launching a consumer-facing app to help retail, that means the consumer app on your phone, to help retail customers transact cryptocurrencies. Remember how when they first announced they were going to do that, and Starbucks and all these big-name companies, and Flexo was the company that had the technology, and the app was going to be called Spendin, and then we really didn't hear about that as the delays for the futures launch went month after month after month, and then they finally had the futures launch, and it was like, what, 3 or 8 bitcoins traded, and it didn't seem like it was living up to the hype.
But now it is.
But, oh, now everything's rosy. Everything's coming to fruition.
Yeah. 1,100, that's what? $10 million?
Well, that's 4 zeros on the end of it. So just rounding to the 10, say when it was 10,000, 4 zeros. That'd be $11
million.
Yeah. $11 million. It's not like the CME.
No.
But it's a lot more than 8 Bitcoin.
And you're getting it delivered.
And with their new technology, in a blog post, it must be 50 minutes into the show because I cannot pronounce anything, Bakkt Chief Product Officer Mike Blandina wrote that the company was working on developing an app to let consumers use digital assets when purchasing goods from merchants. So that's one of the things we talked about at the meetup on Saturday. And I said, and you know, you've got to recognize your taxes. We were talking about the new tax rules, and you know, there were a couple people there that it seemed like I don't think they were going to report their taxes when they bought a cup of coffee with their Bitcoin. But anyway, I don't want to put words in their mouth. We'll be launching a consumer app to make it easy for consumers to discover. By the way, Josh Sands is going to be back on next week to update us on what's going on. Yeah, I think it's next week. We'll be launching a consumer app to make it easy for consumers to discover and unlock the value of digital assets. Well, that's almost like the Chinese Information Society there. Everything, our dear leader has got the app, and it's going to be wonderful, and we'll be testing you with an exam on it soon.
They partnered with WeWork.
We hinted the app might support more than just Bitcoin, which is currently the only digital asset on Bakkt, and its parent company, Intercontinental Exchange. A key feature of the model we've designed is to support a superset of digital assets, including cryptocurrencies, as seamlessly as investors. Our vision is provide consumer platform. What else? Let's get to something of substance here. When ICE first announced Bakkt in August of 2018, wow, that was a long time ago, August 2018, the company said it was partnering with Starbucks and other companies to provide a retail experience, but few details of this part of the vision have been shared since. And by the way, when they did it, there was actually a reporter that downloaded the app and tried it and was able to do it at a Starbucks.
Yeah.
Monday's announcement said Starbucks will be Bakkt's first launch partner when the app goes live sometime in the first half of 2020. So are they going to compute my tax on the cup of coffee?
Yeah.
I think the real strategy here is get people doing it, and just by the sheer number of people doing it and flipping the bird at the IRS over it, that there'll be a law made for a de minimis transaction that you can make with your Bitcoin, crypto, especially when, since we're competing with China now over paying for coffee with funny money.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I got one more story, but what's on your mind here? Anything? Huh? Mm-hmm. I stepped away. Because I don't hear a dial tone yet.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, it's on a landline. Taiwanese consumer, let me rephrase this. How would you like to mine a Bitcoin in your pants?
What?
Yes. Yeah, you got to know how to present these stories. I want to feel the Bitcoin being mined in my pants, and HTC, the phone company, is ready to help me with that. It's launched a highly anticipated Exodus 1S, the first smartphone capable of running a Bitcoin full node.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's smartphone. Well, wait, it's not that amazing. I'm walking around with all the collected intelligence of the civilization in my pocket. Why not mine a Bitcoin while I'm at it? As a result, it's smartphone. Wait, if we could only run the studio off of our phone. Anyway, to validate Bitcoin transactions, why? HTC Chief Decentralization Officer Phil Chen. Full nodes are the most important ingredient in the resilience of the Bitcoin network. HTC is providing the tools for access to universal basic finance, the tools to have a metaphorical Swiss bank in your pocket. This is even worse than the back guys. Garbage. You got a phone. It's going to run a node for Bitcoin. The same as those $2,000 ads you saw for the, what were the ant miners or something like that, ASICs, that you were going to get rich running Bitcoin that are going to be obsolete as soon as we roll out our next one in 6 months. Cost to run a full node often determines how decentralized the network is. By lowering the barriers to entry, HTC is enabling anyone to run a node, further decentralizing Bitcoin's network. Along with access to a cryptocurrency hardware wallet, the users will be able to install an SD card with enough memory and data capacity to store the full Bitcoin ledger.
Wow.
Now, if you didn't catch that, that means those little SD cards you put, memory cards you put in your phone, there'll be enough space to store every Bitcoin transaction since it was invented. And the one, at least until you get rich mining Bitcoin.
Yeah.
While not available initially in the U.S., HTC will offer Exodus 1S in 27 countries across the Middle East and Europe.
That'll be a popular phone.
But, you know, you think about those mining operations that are on the huge warehouses.
That one burned down?
Yeah. Well, which one?
It was a big one burned down.
Well, I didn't notice. It didn't affect the price of Bitcoin. But you got Bitmain that has the ones in China, and they're opening some in Texas, I believe. Well, I thought you needed a cold place. But anyway, but think about that. You acres and acres of racks of basically naked computers running on and on and on that need so much electricity. And I'm going to run a full node, which I guess would be the equivalent of one of the computers.
Well,
and in my pocket.
Well, remember back in the day, this, you know, your computer didn't have as much power as the phone today.
Right. So. And all those people that are worried about Bitcoin and carbon footprint and global warming, you got to have an awful lot of hot back pockets to change the climate. it's hard to believe.
Like Bitcoin mining cars and everything.
Would you get one?
No,
it's going to be a little bit like winning the lottery because it's unlikely that any one phone is going to mine a Bitcoin block completely and get the 6 Bitcoin reward.
Yeah,
but
boy, it would be.
You know, if it's my phone and it's going to do it anyway, it's a better
worth
return than buying a lottery ticket.
Yeah,
I wonder. I'll be walking around with 20 phones in my pocket. Some Madero just hit my right pocket.
When I feel the vibe, that's...
That's we're going to save Social Security.
Yeah,
we're going to give everybody an HTC phone when they're born. By the time they're 21, they're Bitcoin rich. All right, well, I can hope. And... we'll be back next week. We'll be doing Talking Markets. We'll be here for Henry Rain's show. We'll update you on whatever is replacing the meetup. And what else you got going on, Andy? SeekingCryptos.com. Everybody
go to SeekingCryptos.com and sign up. You mentioned TV radio. You get 50% off the first month. Which is great. And you get free content, too.
Sabine Priestley, former iconic crew member, is putting up Facebook posts all over Spain and Europe. And she hasn't any from the moon yet.
Let me play.
That's for Sabine and Richard Branson.
Let me see what spring is like on.